And then there were two. Jane Philpott, considered one of the prime minister's most trusted ministers, has resigned from cabinet over the government's handling of the SNC-Lavalin affair. In a statement released earlier this afternoon, Philpott wrote, "I have been considering the events that have shaken the federal government in recent weeks, and after serious reflection, I have concluded that I must resign as a member of cabinet." In Canada, the Constitutional Convention of Cabinet Solidarity means, among other things, that ministers are expected to defend all cabinet decisions. A minister, she goes on to write, must always be prepared to defend other ministers publicly and must speak in support of the government and its policies. Given this convention and the current circumstances, it is untenable for me to continue to serve as a cabinet minister. Philpott and Jody Wilson-Raybould, who resigned last month, say they'll continue to serve as Liberal MPs. We are expecting to hear from the Prime Minister in less than an hour. What should Justin Trudeau do or say in response? Is there anything he can do to contain this crisis? Jamie Watt is the Executive Chairman of Navigator Limited and an expert in crisis communications. He joins me from Toronto. Hi, Mr. Watt. Nice to see you again. Thanks for your time.
Hey, good to see you.
Okay, first of all, just your reaction to what happened today.
Well, I think no one could have expected this in the specific. I think in the general, we had an idea that more would come. I think that was one of the things that was clear last week, that we hadn't seen the last shoe to drop, and perhaps we still might not have. But I don't think anyone predicted exactly this. I think we all thought Jerry Butts was going to be the star of the week.
What does the Prime Minister have to say tonight?
Well, I think one of the things the Prime Minister's got to do, and we talked a little bit about this last week, was he's got to stop the political rhetoric. I think just thinking that this can just be made about to talk about jobs and to talk about sort of a bumper sticker response, I don't think is going to work. This is a substantive issue. Canadians worry when there's a pattern. You know, last week it was a he said, she said. Now it's a she said, she said, he said. And that's becoming more difficult for him. So I think the Prime Minister needs to do what he should have done previously, which is to deal with this issue substantively and get to the core of it, not just talk about it in terms of his job creation record. I don't think that's going to work.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you because we saw sort of a doubling down of that. We've seen almost a solidification of the jobs line of messaging. But then especially today, I noticed, for example, we had Steve McKinnon on at the beginning of the show. I think he used the word entitled when talking about SNC and then the DPA. And they've really been talking about, okay, we're on the side of protecting these jobs. How far can that argument go? And is it at all too late to be making it, given the types of allegations that have surfaced through Jody Wilson-Raybould's testimony?
I think since the beginning that they've been painting themselves into a corner with that argument. And I think the problem with that argument now is when you've got two ministers having the same position, that the pressure was inappropriate and that they can't continue to defend a cabinet decisions, that's a very big problem. People want jobs. Of course they want jobs. Any poll you ask, how important are jobs? Canadians will tell you jobs are important, but they're not important at any cost. And I think that's one of the things that pollsters are going to have to start asking. Are jobs important at any cost, and at what cost? I think this is a really, really slippery slope they're on, especially when, you know, it's likely that there'll be more to come that they can't see.
I know you've been in the room when other politicians are going through crises and help them navigate that. What do you think is going on in the room right now as they try to navigate this?
Well, you know, one thing we have to remember about politicians, just like business leaders or leaders of third sector organizations when they face a crisis, is that they're human. And the response is a very human response. People go through the seven stages of grief. They sometimes are actually in shock. You know, their decision making becomes challenged. And that's, we often don't want to talk about or we neglect to talk about the humanness of this process. I'm sure in a team sport like politics, inside that room, they are absolutely white hot furious with these two ministers and the fact that they have broken solidarity. You know, municipal politics is an individual sport, provincial and federal politics, a team sport. And I'm sure they're just baffled that this could actually even happen to them. They've got to work themselves through that till they get to the next step. And I just think this idea, this focus on political rhetoric and fighting this problem with conventional political rhetoric is dead wrong.
Do you think the Prime Minister and his lieutenants have to address one of the more kind of not surprising but interesting parts of her resignation letter, in that she criticized the way in which they've handled it, not just the allegations that have come to light, but she said, "Sadly, I've lost confidence in how the government has dealt with this matter and in how it has responded to the issues raised." Do you think they need to address specifically that type of criticism?
Actually, I think that's exactly what they have to do. I think they've got to not only deal with the specifics, but the way that they've handled it. And I think they've got to admit that they've made some mistakes. I don't think there's one single Canadian of any partisanship, including Liberals, that think this has been handled well. So why not just admit that? Admit that this hasn't been your finest hour. Ask for forgiveness and learn to move on, rather than doubling down on a bunch of rhetoric that doesn't make sense and almost is tone deaf.
Do you think something like that will work? I know that you've seen other, as I said, political crises come and go. Is this survivable if you pursue that line of communication?
I think it's survivable if you pursue that line of communication, and if there isn't more. I think if there's more, it is a very, very big problem. You know, these things sometimes are like mice. When you see one, you know what that means. There's a whole bunch more. And if there's a whole bunch more here, that's the problem for the Prime Minister. Everyone knows people make mistakes. People are very forgiving about mistakes that are made. If you say you're sorry, if you fix things up, if you make sure you don't do it again. But when there's a pattern, and if we have a pattern of more ministers not having lost confidence in the government or whatever, then I think you've got a problem which you may well not be able to survive.
And just quickly before I let you go, Mr. Watt, they both still remain in caucus. They're both very careful to say that they were elected as Liberal MPs for their riding. How tenable is that situation?
I think that's a very, very difficult situation. I don't know how you sit with a caucus mate who has actually gone out and on the public record tried to take the government down and has said we don't have confidence in our leader. I said a few minutes ago, actually, politics is a team sport, and loyalty in a team, and that nature, that team sport nature of politics, is one of the most important things that keeps these parties together. I just actually don't know how that's tenable at all. That would be passing strange to me.
Okay, thank you so much, Jamie. Thanks, Mr. Watt. Appreciate your time.
My pleasure.